Good evening and welcome into Xfinity Studios at Winter Park. I am your host, Mike Wobshaw. This is Everything Purple. We are here to review some of the best content the Vikings Entertainment Network had to offer over the past week. The content is always better after a Vikings victory, and the Vikings did win this past weekend. They defeated the Detroit Lions 28-19, and we'll get into that game and much more later in the show, but we're going to open tonight's show by hearing from Vikings Chief Operating Officer Kevin Warren. He sat down with us in Xfinity Studios at Winter Park to talk some football, but also to talk about some of the things going on around the Vikings off the field and in the community.
A lot going on in the Vikings' victory over the Chiefs before, during, and after the game. It was a big women's initiatives game for the Vikings. Breast cancer awareness was going on. Tell everyone about that. Mamava, a lot of stuff going on during that game.
Yeah, I think one thing you've noticed, especially with the support of the Wills family, is that they give us the latitude to do what's right. I mean, it's a crucial catch day with the NFL, breast cancer awareness. We have many players on our team whose family has had to deal with breast cancer. I had a sister who passed from breast cancer. We've had many fans. So to be able to do something with Crucial Catch is really important. And as I said, it was an outstanding environment on Sunday to see all the pink there and the support and the love that we give to our women. All the other initiatives are, you know, you can imagine how important our female fans are to us. The numbers continue to grow. And I can see one day in the near future that basically 50% of our season ticket holders will be women. And what we're doing is from just a respect standpoint to let women know that we appreciate them, we respect them, we honor them, they have a voice with us. And so we have a new director of women's initiatives, Tammy Krause, who's done an outstanding job. And she facilitated a program over the weekend with the local not-for-profit Matter and raised almost $200,000 in cash and other donations from local entities here, Avita, that we'll be able to donate to women's shelters. So it was just an outstanding day to be able to support some women's causes. And then us, again, encouraged by the Wolves to be cutting edge, is that we developed a relationship a couple months ago with a company out of Vermont called Mamava. And it's cool how it came to pass. I do these one-on-one interviews with employees, and we had two female employees, Alicia Dreyer and also Aaron Schwartz, who raised to me of the concern that they had, and they raised the issue of how we could get better as a franchise if we provided an environment for our women to be able to breastfeed. And then ironically, about a month later, I was walking through the Milwaukee airport and saw this lactation sweeter pod and pitched it over to one of our summer legal interns. They did some research. We called Mamava. We were able to cut a deal, and they made these pods and had them deliver them. And so we had the ribbon cutting on Saturday, and it was outstanding. I even went to the Gophers Nebraska game on Saturday, and there were women from at that game who were using it. So I knew Sunday would be a special day. But when we got the report yesterday that there were lines outside of the lactation suites and recommendations already from women, we just have some cool things planned. But to be able to stand here and sit here with you today and say that we're the first NFL team who's partnered with Mamava to create this kind of fan-friendly women environment is just really special.
Yeah, and I'd like you to talk a little bit about the platform that is the NFL for initiatives like this, because you've been in the league for a long time with a few different teams. Right. You know, you talk about some of the military appreciation things that happened in November, breast cancer awareness in October. You're wearing a Fuel Up to Play 60 lapel pin right now, youth football initiatives. Lots of initiatives that the NFL and its teams can take on because they have a great platform.
Mm-hmm. And I think one thing, and that's one of the things I tell all of our young people, whether you're a player or even a staff person coming to work at the Vikings, is realize that the platform that the NFL provides us is incredible. And so just be conscientious of not only the brand of the team, but the brand of you as an individual. And so one of the things I've been very cognizant of is to get the word out of good things that can be done and really change the direction and the course. And so to sit here in 2015 and it really brainstorm us, how can we build a better relationship with our women? And it was great to be able to brainstorm that and to put these different programs together, from the relationship with Matter to Mamava to expanding really the Crucial Catch. And there'll be a lot of other things that will be coming. You know, we want to have a whole women's expo next year. You know, I'm visualizing where we can have 4,000 or 5,000 women who can come in and who have, you know, get free mammograms and, you know, national guest speakers who would come in really as an empowerment seminar to be able to bring women in closer to us to say, here, we as the Vikings, we care about you. We want to create an environment. We appreciate you, and we want to hear your voice. So that's the great thing about the National Football League. You know, as I tell people a lot of times, there's really only 48 hours of football a year. You know, 16 games and 3 hours a game. And if you really look at the action, I think it's about 10 minutes a game. You know, most games have an average of 120 plays and 5 seconds of play. It's not a lot of action. So there's a lot of other opportunities throughout the year, throughout even the course of a game, to really fill in and touch a lot of people's lives, from kids to women to men to fans to military, to really as a way to say thank you for supporting the National Football League and the Minnesota Vikings.
That's outstanding stuff. Another great thing, U.S. Bank Stadium.
Yes.
We're going to call it our home. We call it our home right now, but we move into our home in 2016. What's the status update at U.S. Bank Stadium?
It's outstanding. We're probably about 75% completed. The roof will be enclosed by November, and they'll work on a lot of the finishings then. It's coming along good. It has been a long process for everyone involved to work on it. And it's rewarding every time I go by it every day to look at it, to say, wow, it's coming together, and to think of things that we worked on from a documentation standpoint, even pre-drawing, to see now it come to fruition and look at that stadium. And I'm just, you know, excited to get it done. It's been a great 2 years at TCF Bank Stadium, and hopefully we can bring a Super Bowl home to TCF this year after this season, and then open up next year with another Super Bowl at U.S. Bank Stadium. But we got some great partners. It's going to be a great facility, and it's going to be basically the best stadium in the world when we open up next year.
Well, there's going to be a lot of great football games played in that stadium, Vikings games, you know, 10 at a minimum per year. We hope some home playoff games as well.
Right.
But do you think that we're going to continue to see some big-time sporting events and other sports come to that building?
Yeah, I mean, right now we have the Super Bowl in 2018. We have the Final Four in 2019. We have bid for the College Football Playoff Championship for 2020. And I think we find out on November 4th if we've been awarded that. But there'll be some great concerts there and other activities. I mean, this is a community asset. So it happens to be that we're the major tenant, which is outstanding. But to provide this opportunity, this crown jewel in downtown Minneapolis, and to be there for the Twin Cities and for the state of Minnesota, really makes you proud that we're doing it the right way.
Another iron in the fire for Kevin is a potentially new facility in Eagan. And I know that we're in the very early stages of that, nothing official yet, but what can you tell us about the status there?
That's going well. I mean, we're in the legislative process right now. We had a chance to meet with the kind of Eagan Planning Commission, which went well. We had a chance to meet with Eagan City Council, which also went well. We're doing our due diligence and just kind of working through the process now. And, you know, it's exciting because, as you know, Mike, we have employees in literally three different locations. We have them here at Winter Park. We have them across the street in the Blue Building. We have them down at our 1010 building where our ticket office and preview center are located. And so it makes it very challenging to be able to communicate and for people to work together and have synergy. If you look at our even indoor practice facility now, you know, half of the part of the end zone is covered up because that's where the players have their meeting room area. So it's exciting. It's like moving from a small house or a dwelling, you know, into a place that has a lot of space. So for us to be able to dream and visualize about pulling all these things together, having a hotel there, a preview and conference center, a state-of-the-art practice facility, grass fields, turf fields, and we've even talked about building a, you know, 8 to 10,000 person stadium on the practice facility there in our new headquarters, where we could have these big high school football games, you know, kind of Friday Night Lights, where you'd have two big time teams come together and play, and really to make it a community asset. We'll have some housing there, and just build an environment that is really unparalleled in all the sports. And the great thing about it is for us to have a stadium, the best stadium in all of the world, and then to build the best location from a practice facility, from a headquarters in all of the world, a Hall of Fame. And really to have fans be able to interact there and feel proud of it, it puts us in a position that we'll really be set up for the next 20, 30, or 40 years as a franchise.
Fun to see it all come together, at relatively the same time. You've been with the Vikings for a long time, for a decade.
It's my 11th season right now, 17 in the NFL.
But most recently, being named chief operating officer, you know, people see leadership structure of a team, the head coach and the general manager, and I think they have a general understanding of what that is. But what are your visions and goals as the COO of an NFL team?
I mean, basically it is just to really, from a leadership standpoint, establish kind of some goals as far as how we do it. And as I tell people all the time, we want to build an organization here, and we've done a good job so far, that basically your parents, your grandparents are proud that you work here at the Minnesota Vikings. And the same will hold true about your kids, you know, that your kids are proud that you work here at the Vikings. We want to just create an environment that's best in class, that's not good, but that's great, that people are proud, people are excited to come to work, that we created where, you know, it's a diverse environment. We create an environment where people are comfortable and sharing their ideas, giving people like yourself a chance to grow internally. Then when you look back at it, people look and say, you know what, that is an outstanding organization to work for. Not just a National Football League team, but as a business that we operated from that standpoint. And I think we've done that. I've been in the process of interviewing and talking with every employee one-on-one, which has been great. And then taking those ideas like a Mama Von, incorporating into how we do business, just trying to make sure that we have a ear of sensitivity. So we absolutely want to win championships, but I would say win them with class and integrity and really do it the right way. But to build an environment where people look from around the country, around the world to say, we want to go study of who's doing this the right way from an organizational standpoint. And without fail, they say the Minnesota Vikings. So that's what we're working hard every day to do.
Well, before we end, let's talk football, because I know you like the game of football, and we chat on the road, you know, when we're standing by the buses waiting to go. What do you like about this football team through the early part of the season?
I mean, it's just what I think I like about it is really it's an exciting team. And I was able to stand up and watch that last, you know, series against the Chiefs. And the energy and the crowd is into it. And we got some great players, older players. We got some great young players. There's a lot of young talent. You know, we have a very talented coaching staff, and we have, you know, great scouts, and led by Rick Spielman and Rob Brzezinski working on the salary cap. It's just an exciting time. So I think that the great thing about it is it's all coming together. You know, ownership is settled, and they have been settled since they got here, but they're really starting to get comfortable of being owners. And we got great coaches. We got great scouts. We got great cap management. We got a lot of young talent. We got some basically veterans who have a lot of wisdom. Mm-hmm. And the business side is doing well. We got the stadium that's coming on board. We've been talking about this practice facility. People are really exciting. I mentioned in the staff meeting earlier today, take time to take a step back and reflect as you work here at the Vikings, because it's so easy when you're working on these different things just to take it, I don't want to say for granted, but just to say that it's a grind, which it is. But fortunately, I get a chance to travel. And it's amazing when people see your business card on your briefcase or see your, you know, a Vikings Norseman on your lapel, and they ask questions. No matter whether you're in Europe or you're in California or New York, people know what's going on in Minnesota. They're excited about our football team. They're excited about ownership. They're excited about the stadium. They're excited about the potential possibility for our practice facility. And so I'm just really proud to have an opportunity to be here at the Minnesota Vikings. And it's just an exciting time. And I will be excited to be able to touch the Lombardi. I've touched it once, but to be able to touch it with purple on.
Right. I'm sure that would never get old.
Yeah.
A lot going on with the Vikings. And now you're updated because of this man right here, Vikings Chief Operating Officer Kevin Warren, kind enough to join us in the studio. Thank you very much, Kevin.
Thank you very much.
More show to come, but right now we're up against a break. Before we go, a programming note. Join host Mike Musman along with Vikings cornerback Terrence Newman at Wild Bill's in Apple Valley this Thursday at 5:30 p.m. for Vikings Country. You could win Vikings tickets and a trip to the Miller Lite touchdown in the tropics in Mexico. Visit Vikings.com/Vikings Country for more information, and please stay tuned for more Everything Purple. Welcome back. It's Everything Purple, and I'm your host, Mike Wobshall. Before we get to the rest of the show, I want to tell you about a cool contest you can enter. The Vikings are giving away a pair of tickets to the first game in their new home, plus an exclusive on-field experience at U.S. Bank Stadium. For more details and to register now, go to usbankstadium.com/contest. Last week's edition of Vikings Beyond the Gridiron took a look at Stephon Diggs and all that he's overcome to do what he's doing for the Vikings on the field right now.
When he looks into the faces of each of the kids, he sees a bit of himself. Young kids looking for a role model, guidance, and a path to follow in life.
I love kids. Dealing with a lot of kids back home, they all, like, look up to me, so I like guide them, and if they ask me anything, I'll give them an honest answer and try to guide them and do everything I can for them, really, mainly.
It's a Tuesday night, just 2 days after the Vikings rookie Stephon Diggs had the biggest game of his young NFL career. But the 21-year-old has one thing on his mind. A group of youngsters are looking up to Diggs and his teammates as they help show these kids in need all about the importance of having good role models in life. The United Way gave some Twin Cities youth a rare opportunity to learn fitness and health tips from the Vikings players, while also hearing their messages on the importance of school and making the right choices in life.
I was once a little kid as well, so you know what it feels like to think the NFL is so big. And like when I was young, I used to think the NFL was just so far away, just as far as like the stage they were on. And I used to look at NFL differently. The closer you get, the more realistic it gets. But when you're a young kid, you don't know the smallest thing can impact them. So as little as signing the autograph and get signing the extra autograph more than it, it'll go a long way.
It means so much for Diggs to give back, because it wasn't long ago he was a teenager trying to escape tragedy in his life.
It was hard for me in the beginning because I was so young and I didn't know who to turn to and that kind of thing. And I more so leaned on my little brothers. That's where all my love really came from. And my mom, of course, she never let me down. But I leaned towards my little brothers because I knew that they lost a father figure as well. And I was really next in line to who they look up to and who was going to guide them along the way. So I knew I had to step up to the plate and really become the father of the house.
It was January 2008, and Stephon Diggs was a 14-year-old working to find success in the game of football. His passion and desire for the game all changed when Aaron Diggs died at the age of 39 of congestive heart failure, a father never seeing his son excel on the gridiron. The football field became his place to grieve and the spot he would rise to fame in suburban Washington, D.C. It wasn't long before Diggs became a top recruit, deciding to stay home and play for the Maryland Terrapins.
I really didn't take any consideration in it because I was really just doing it out of love. I was staying at home for my brothers and my family, so it just kind of worked out in my favor. And I get a lot of love back home and a lot of respect just because staying home no matter what. Because we were doing a little rough that year, the year before I came in, but I still ride with her. I roll with the punches always. We're going to make it work.
After his junior season, he entered the NFL draft, where the Vikings selected the speedster in the fifth round last May. Putting on that NFL jersey was something his dad always knew would happen. But unfortunately, he wasn't there to see it.
I used to deal with that heavily in high school because, I mean, high school was at the top of the game where he didn't see me play. So he saw me throughout my career, just never seen me play a high school game. And I carried that on my shoulders for a while because, I mean, the man started you in something. You wanted him to see your progress and see how good you got. You worked so hard, and he never saw me play. So I held that on my heart for a while, and then I started realizing, like, I mean, he still gets to watch me play. And as he's watching, I hope he's smiling. And I just continue to try to get better.
He's making his father proud with his play thus far in his rookie season. After getting his first taste of the NFL in week 4 by catching 6 passes for 87 yards, he followed that up with a 7-catch, 129-yard performance last weekend in the win over the Chiefs.
The first couple of weeks, I mean, I didn't feel any type of way because we got a talented group of guys, and I'm just blessed to be in the mix with those guys, and however the chips fall, they're going to lay. So, I mean, God blessed me with the opportunity to play. I knew I was preparing myself ever since training camp, since day one, since I got here, I was preparing myself, and, I mean, still got to work hard no matter what. And when my time came, I knew I was going to take advantage of my opportunity. That's all.
Okay, to conclude the show, we lighten it up a little bit. And to do that for us, it's Trey Waynes and Xavier Rhodes participating in Words with Teammates on Vikings Connected.
Round 1. Sports.
What conference are we in now?
NFC? NFC?
NFC what?
North.
There we go. It's what we do when we have a away game.
Travel.
What we do when we get it's a magazine for
Sports Illustrated.
Yeah. What the heck? Yeah. Okay. That's it.
Round 1 score. 3.
I mean, I don't understand that. What's glove saying?
Hockey.
Oh. Me pronouncing right. That's probably what it is. He's just a little confused on the things I was trying to say.
What are you good at? You say you're good at food?
Food.
Round 2, we're about to do food.
Round 2, food.
1, 3, 2.
A little kid wants this at McDonald's.
Cheeseburger?
No.
Happy Meal.
Yep. It's chewy, not worms, but...
Gummy bears.
Yep, bam. It's one of the things upstairs for breakfast.
Oh, fish?
Not the waffles.
Pancakes.
Yep. We always eat it.
Chicken.
Yep.
Wings.
Yep. It's not crab.
Oh, lobster.
SpongeBob lives in a what?
Pineapple.
Lady and the Tramp. Is it really Italian?
Spaghetti and meatballs.
Round two score. 7. Perfect score. Wow. For a total of 10.
We just killed that, man. We just killed it.
No,
we did. Yeah, man.
It speaks for itself.
Yes. Yes, it does. It speaks for itself.
Good.
You're good. Great.
You want to do it again? Like, I'll describe it.
Yeah, you're pretty
good
at describing. Round 3, we are going with the world.
Round 3, the world.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Mexican, speak it.
Spanish.
It's a green thing in New York. Holds something.
Statue of Liberty.
Not Atlantic.
Atlantic?
No. It's big
Pacific?
Water. Yeah.
Ocean?
Yeah. Underground city, got lost, centuries, it's a movie,
no.
He sailed the seven seas, discovered everything.
Guys, I can't think of it right now.
The one I showed you.
Round 3 score, 3, for a grand total of 13.
Are we straight?
No, man, I couldn't think of Atlanta for some reason.
Well, how did
I know you did better than the people that couldn't do it.
Average.
Average?
Yeah, we didn't get perfect.
I mean, yeah, you're right. We didn't get perfect, but we still was the best.
I want to run it back.
Yes.
On a rematch.
A rematch.
Okay, that's a wrap for this week's edition of Everything Purple. We thank you for listening, and we remind you, the Vikings play the Chicago Bears on Sunday. You can catch the game all across the Vikings Radio Network, where Paul Allen, Pete Bursich, and Greg Coleman will call the action on the Vikings Radio Network. We also remind you that we'll be back with you next week, same time, same place, Everything Purple, next Tuesday night, and we will review the best content that the VEN produced over the past week. Hopefully, a lot of that content stems from another Vikings victory, this time over the Chicago Bears. We thank you again for listening. On behalf of producer Nate Vaughn, I'm your host, Mike Wobshall. We wish you a good night. And leave you on a good note.